Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life. My name is Joe Cole, and this is my podcast where I talk to millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood. That is a long intro. That's the first time I almost didn't get through that with one breath. Maybe I'm getting old. Today on the podcast, I talked to Tammy Nguyen. I think I pronounced that correctly for the first time since I've known Tammy, and I think I pronounced it in a way that isn't offensive. Sorry for the vocalizing of my self-consciousness, but I do that a lot in the conversation you're about to hear with Tammy, who is a friend of mine from college. She was the sweetheart of my fraternity, which is just someone who is elected as the female representation or is like the best female friend of the fraternity. And Tammy is Vietnamese. And yeah, I just want to say that the vocalizing the self-consciousness thing, I ask her a lot of questions about that, her being Vietnamese, because I usually, you know, talk about where my guests come from. And I ask some questions that could come across as ignorant to some people. You know, they came across that way to me. But I think the ignorance doesn't come from a mean place. It's benign ignorance, not malignant ignorance, or what is also known as racism, right? Ignorance is only racist when there's hate behind it, right? But anyway, besides all that, Tammy's a really smart and put together person, and she is a super busy person. She's in the midst of grad school, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and it was nice to talk to her. She was one of the people I interviewed when I went up to Hamden not too long ago. So I hope you enjoy my talk with Tammy. I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly. I used to do a dance to that, actually.
What?
To the song.
You used to do a dance?
Yeah, we made up a dance.
Well, how did it go?
Seven. I don't want to show you. I'm out of touch
when
with
you're
my
seven?
Skill.
Is that how old that song?
I have no idea. Probably 10. We did it at the beach.
At the beach? Did people watch you?
I think so, because we practiced every day at the beach after.
What were the reactions of people?
Hey, I have no idea, but we had a good time.
Because you were seven, you couldn't retain memory, so you have no idea. You must have frightened people, Tam.
Excuse me?
You probably frightened people.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, I'm glad I'm able to talk to you, because you're aren't you the busiest person in the world? Or you're not that busy?
I'm never busy for you, Joe.
I'm talking to Tammy. All right, so last name. I don't want to say it wrong.
Okay, we can just go with Nguyen. Nguyen is fine.
Is that what?
No, it's not how it's pronounced.
Come on, don't give me that stupid embarrassed about how your actual name is pronounced.
Okay, well, no one is going to pronounce it, but it is Nguyen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you can give, how would you pronounce it?
I just say Nguyen or Nguyen, whatever works.
To be honest, I've said Nguyen.
Yeah, that's fine. Totally fine.
I feel bad.
It's okay. It's the entire population. So
everyone says it wrong.
Yeah, it's okay.
Is that annoying?
No, it's, well,
was it ever annoying?
Yeah, when you're in like middle school and elementary school, and you're this little Asian kid in a full room full of white kids, and then the teacher would just look down and I could like feel myself burning up, and I was like, oh, I'm definitely next on the roster, because I'm always after Murphy. And then they would just look up, and I just slowly raise my hand up.
Yeah. I mean, I would remember that when there would always be the name of the person whose name wasn't a normal American name.
Yeah.
And then I don't think I would ever be like, that's fucking weird. So you probably were afraid for no reason or embarrassed for no reason.
Yeah. But then after a while, I was like, whatever.
Embrace your new, embrace your win.
Yeah. Embrace it. Just take it.
So how are you, what is your thing?
PT. It's a six.
I love how you knew exactly what I
6-year program, at Quinnipiac, the beautiful, lovely North Haven campus. Mm. Right now I'm just taking classes as we come to end with the semester, and then I have a week off, then I go through summer.
Do you not do anything for summer?
We have classes.
Yeah, what is that? You don't have a summer?
No, we don't.
Why?
I don't know. You can ask.
So, like, is that part of the semester?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when does that semester end?
In August, and then we have another week off, and then we start back up again.
And then that doesn't end until now?
Until, no, so we're in school for a full year, like, spring, summer, fall, and then we had 3 months of clinical, and then we go again, spring, summer, fall.
Jesus.
And then we work for 6 months for free, which is sweet, and then hopefully we graduate. And
wait, what?
Clinical is unpaid, and we have 6 months of it.
Is that here, or do you just go to a hospital?
It depends.
Or go to a physical therapy place.
Yeah, it really depends on your preference. But long story short, I will be done in July of 2017.
Mm.
And then...
You're just trudging along until then.
And then hopefully we have a salary so I can pay and afford things.
Well, hopefully you mean you get a job right after where you have some type of income?
Yeah, that would be nice.
How do you mentally prepare for knowing that you're going to be in school for that long?
You kind of just accept that this is your life for a short amount of time. And I think as a class, we've all just gone to the point where we're just like going through the motions, trying to make it through and stuff. But we try to have fun in between and stuff.
How are you otherwise? I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's, everything's good. You know, life gets busy for people who work like 9 to 5. It's school's the same thing. You go to class all day and then, or you work afterwards or you do homework. But I mean, life's good and I'm still having fun seeing the people I want to see. I know it's just hard traveling now because everyone's so spread apart.
Yeah. So you take the time to make sure you see other people who aren't here?
I try to. Yeah. We try to plan some stuff. Timing doesn't always align, but we always, you know, try to keep people in the loop and whatnot.
Are you struggling as much as I am with keeping in touch with people?
I think I've always been good with that.
How did that happen?
What?
Being good at that.
I don't know. It's just innate for me. It's no matter if I don't see people for 5, 6 months, a year, if I'm still close to them and I still consider them one of my good friends, things just pick up where they left off whenever I see them. So if it is a year, unfortunately, like sometimes time circumstances only allow you to see someone every few years, but it's the exact same.
Speaking of close friends, all right, let me give this to you right now. I was talking with Frank and like Bill. I was like, what do I talk to Tammy about? And then they were like, as good of friends as we are with Tammy, I don't know. We don't really know her that much. We don't really know much about, like, past childhood, family. Is that true? Or is it just Frank and Bill? Is Bill just an idiot? Bill could just be an idiot. Bill's just an idiot.
I mean, I'd say
do
my
you not share
close,
that stuff?
I'd say my close friends know. Or Yeah, I mean, I usually am not, like, a...
I've never
tell all.
I've never talked to you about that stuff.
Yeah, but like if people ask, it's not like I hide.
Where you born?
I was born and raised in Weymouth, Massachusetts. My parents, both of them, are Vietnamese immigrants. During the post the Vietnam War, they met over here. I have a rather large family.
They met here?
Yes.
Why did they both individually move here?
Well, it's so. The Vietnam War, North, Communist North versus the South, and the Americans aligned with the South. My parents were both from the South Vietnam area. So to preference this, my mom's 1 out of 11, and my dad's 1 out of 8. And I'm an only child, but I have a huge family, so...
Oh, we're getting into that.
Yeah. So... They just wanted to have a better opportunity of life.
When did they live? How old were they when they both moved here?
So their parents stayed in Vietnam. Half of my dad's brothers, older brothers, were in the army. And it was fortunately for him, it was the cutoff age. So he didn't have to enlist into the army. Same thing with my mom. All of her older brothers went to war. And they both went over probably around their young 20s, so our age.
Right.
And they had to escape, like, via, you know, like, a little dinghy in the middle of the night. Like, that's how you travel when you... Yeah, that's
what
how...
What does that mean?
So, you had to escape the communist North, or else if they caught you, you'd be put in jail.
Right.
So actually my dad, the first time he tried to escape from the country, he got caught and was placed in jail for 2 years.
No way.
Yeah. It's pretty nutty.
How old?
Like our age.
No way.
Yeah.
How did he escape and how did he try to escape and how did he get caught?
So, like I said, like the Southern Vietnamese and the Americans tried to align together, and you can't really just fly out of the country.
Right.
A, because that costs a lot of money. And mm-hmm. B, you can't go into the airport and be like, I'm just going to try to like leave the country and never come back.
Right.
So what happens is like during the night, you get like shipments of like boats that come in and they gather as many people on the boat as possible and like try to escape and like go to the next, there's like refugee camps in
right.
like Malaysia or areas around that in Thailand and stuff like that. So they try to get as many Vietnamese people as possible to those refugee camps so that they eventually could go to the U.S.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, it is. So my mom, when she successfully escaped, she brought her younger brother at the time, one of her younger brothers, and he was 10. So it's just a 20-year-old girl with her younger little brother. Eventually, both of them made it to the U.S., and they met up with their older brothers who were in the Army. So if you were in the Army, you automatically got to come to the U.S.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of how my family...
So how did your dad get captured the first time? Like, what happened? Found out.
It's that boat got caught. Everyone was put in jail from that boat.
For 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Has he talked to you about what that was like?
Yeah, it's really humbling to kind of... And I still can't wrap my head around it that they've endured so much and literally worked from nothing. No language, no money, no family and stuff into a working middle class so that I can go to college at Quinnipiac, which is
ridiculous.
Not cheap for those of you who do not know Quinnipiac. But yeah, no, he like... It's made him to who he is today.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he jokes about going to jail and stuff like that. But I know like during the time, you know, you're very scared. And
I could not imagine being my age and having to being in jail for 2 years.
Right. And especially when it's not like you did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Had any wrongdoing.
Yeah.
It was you were just trying to make a life better.
He probably
for
was just every day be like, what the fuck am I doing here? This is bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough life. But...
In a different language, though, he would say.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I don't think he's learned curse words
yeah.
yet.
Well, that's crazy. So they got here. What was it? Do you know what it was like for them once they got here?
So fortunately, their brothers were more established, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So they had at least like a place to live and a little bit of money from the army and stuff. So the Vietnamese community basically... kind of came together. Like if you didn't know each other beforehand, you became friends because it's just people helping people.
Where were they geographically at first?
I think some of them started off in Texas, but we all relocated into Rockland, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about 20 minutes away from where I live in Weymouth. And so they just, you know, lived in tenant style housing and stuff, like as many of them just to help each other out, like all family and stuff like that. The community that they kind of like came together, there's probably, I'd say, 30 of them and stuff. And throughout all of these years, like they're still best friends to this day.
Wow.
So, yeah, my dad plays, he's 62 now.
Right.
But very active and stuff like that, still working. And he has what I call the volleyball team. So every weekend, they're actually playing today. All of the guys who are, minimum age of like 50, so like 55 to 65.
Right.
They come together and they play volleyball for like 4 hours straight every Sunday or
wow.
Saturday. And then afterwards, they just have some beers and hang out together. And it's been like that since like I can remember. And
mm-hmm.
Because they were so close when they first came to America, they're going to be best buds till like they die, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that could definitely bring someone together.
Yeah.
So how long were they here before they... met each other?
My parents.
And how did they meet each other?
Yeah, so both of my parents' older brothers were in the army together, so it was just kind of like mutual friends. whatever. And I think they like were dating for like 2 years before they got married and stuff. Yeah.
And then you came along.
Yeah. Way, way down the line I came along.
Really? How long were they married until?
They were, my parents were actually pretty old. I think my dad was 39, my mom was 35.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, they were like, once you have children, your life is kind of over from then. So they wanted to make some money. They wanted to travel. Their biggest thing was traveling.
Yeah, so what do they do now? Or what have they done?
Yeah, so my dad works for a company called Raytheon. It's pretty closely aligned with the military and stuff. And it they have a lot of branches in Raytheon, but essentially they sell like submarines and not like just warfare, like not they don't sell like guns and stuff, but like they sell things and technology for the military and stuff. Right. So he's worked there for, it'll be 30 years.
That's a cool job.
Yeah, he's worked his way up from that company, and it's yeah. So
he's been there for the whole time.
Yeah, he's like worked a few more odds and ends, but he's been at Raytheon for like 30 years now. And my mom works as an engineer at a electronic company, like a town over from us.
Cool.
So yeah.
So I guess the question I have is when you were younger. Oh, so well, first of all, was English your first language? Did you learn English, or were they?
No.
How
actually,
did they learn English?
They took ESL classes.
Yeah.
And my dad actually went back to school, just night school, a community college. When I was first born, to like get his other degrees so that he could kind of move up the chain in Raytheon. I did not learn English as my first language.
Does Vietnam have their own, is Vietnamese?
Yeah,
language?
Vietnamese, yeah. I learned Vietnamese first. So in the household, my parents and all of our aunts and uncles instilled in us that you have to speak Vietnamese because they didn't want us to lose the language, which in hindsight was awesome because now my younger cousins, they're starting to lose the language. So they can understand it, but they can't speak it well.
Do you still speak it fluently?
Yeah. So when I'm at home, I speak Vietnamese. And I, looking back, I was like wondering why.
You sound like a white girl.
Yeah.
You sound so American.
Basic girls doing basic things. So I would be in kindergarten, and I remember always getting pulled out of class like midday and like sitting and playing like bingo, like, it was my ESL class, which I didn't realize because I'm like, I understand everything. I don't really know why I'm in here. But my English, I would say, wasn't great until I started probably first grade, second grade. But in hindsight, like my parents did an awesome thing. They made sure that I understood and knew how to speak the language at least adequately to be able to translate for my grandma, for, you know, just helping people, and especially in the healthcare fields, knowing more languages is better than just one. And I wish I knew a third language, but I kind of took that on the back burner.
Oh, I wish I knew a third language. Shut up, Tam. No, I'm trying. I want to learn Spanish. I might go to a place where it's like a, it's like an alternate route thing where you just go to this schooling where you are there for like 3 months and you can only speak Spanish, and apparently once you leave you're fluent.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sounds like awesome, it works. But
and apparently get like your teaching, you can like get, you get like a teaching certificate too after.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm just gonna have that just for like, you know, just in case.
Yeah, for shits and gigs.
Yeah. But so was there a big Asian community in the high school or town, or the in the town, in the schooling that you went to?
Weymouth High School is essentially Quinnipiac.
Oh, really?
It's, I looked up the stats, actually, just for shits and gigs in high school, and it's 97% just Irish-American.
Right.
So we're 20 minutes south of Boston, so very, very just Irish-grown families in Weymouth.
My town was like that, too. Pequannock literally has a Q, a U, and two N's, and a C, and our school colors are blue and yellow, and we're all white. There was like maybe like, I think there's like 3% registered black voters in our town. It's
yeah,
crazy.
I know. It's pretty minute. Yeah. Black is probably 2%.
Well, it's Boston,
and then,
yeah.
And then Asian American is probably 1.5.
I talked to Stav about this, and it's kind of a hackneyed question, but like, what's going through your mind? Do you have the thought process of like, I'm different than everyone else, and how does that affect you at such a young age?
I never really saw or realized that, you know, Weymouth is pretty good middle class working families mm-hmm. for the most part. And I mean, once you go start like school, you're so excited to go in and meet friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like, that's all I've known. And yeah, there was other Asian Americans in my school system and stuff. But
Yeah.
I mean, few, far and few between. Mm-hmm. But we all integrated ourselves into just our school system. And you didn't really feel anything different. You know, it was just, now it's a running joke. It's like, oh yeah, like I have one redheaded friend. I have one Asian friend. And like, I'm the Asian friend to meet the quota.
What's the deal with, this may be like a, could be construed as like a, or not construed, this could be seen as like a messed up question. But what's the deal with like, did you ever feel the pull of like wanting to only have like other Asian friends?
No, not for me.
Because I feel like sometimes, especially college, like that happens when there's like the few Asian people who go here, like they all find each other and are friends with each other. And I understand that's, they identify with them. That's who they are. Right. So like they, but for you, I seem like you're just friends with anyone. Do you know why that didn't happen for you or why it happens for other people?
It was just, it's just natural for me to just be friends with whoever, mm-hmm. you know. In high school, we didn't group together, but I can see where you're coming from with like, you know, the groupings and stuff like that. Cause we definitely see that within the Quinnipiac community.
Yeah. Freshman year, there was a kid, I'm not gonna say his name, obviously. There was a kid who was like in our hall, and he was like a strange kid. He was a strange Asian kid. He like had never drank before. And like, we were friends with him. We were nice to him.
I know who you're talking about.
Do you?
Yeah.
RZ?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're friends with him and you're nice to him. And
he's doing well nowadays.
Is he?
Like transferred, but like we're Facebook friends and he's always doing well, so.
Oh, he found you. He definitely found you. He's got you out.
Well, no, we became friends-ish, mm-hmm. or not really friends. That's a loose term. It's more like companions.
Yeah.
Freshman year, because he lived in that hallway where like Evan and Tom and stuff, and then one day we got introduced.
Yeah, and we tried to be friends with him, and then it was just like a matter of time where there was just like five Asian kids in his room, and he like didn't want to be friends with us. Granted, I think the first night we drank with him, he took like two shots. We got him drunk. He took like two shots, and he puked.
I mean, don't take it personally.
No, I'm not taking it personally. I was just like wondering like why. I was just like a thing of like we were opening up to him. I was just wondering if there's like a thing where it's like no. If there's a more communal aspect to it than like would be for other people.
Yeah, for me it was just, you know,
sound so like ignorant and like I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Trust me, I've
heard, this is just what I see. This
I've heard.
I went on vacation.
Everything far and in between, and it makes me laugh. Like I can't even like be mad at the person when they say something so ignorant. Yeah. I'm just like, wow, that
ignorance
sucks.
Not coming from a mean place. It's just it's just what I see.
You should just know a lot more than you do. But that's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, people are ignorant towards me, but I'm probably ignorant towards other cultures. And it's just more of not being knowledgeable and aware, which sucks.
Is family like a big thing? I went to Mexico this summer and there was just, if you see an Asian person, they were with like 15 other Asian people. Well, you see like families of four, but then you would see families of like 30 Asian people together, like taking up whole hallways, like just rolling deep together.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We like to roll in deep, you know, God forbid anything happens. You got your other Asians helping you out.
I was like, wow, that's crazy that they just.
Family is a huge aspect of any Asian culture. I'd say I can speak from my mm-hmm. personal experience and just looking at most Asian cultures. For us, it's kind of just respect for the hierarchy of, you know, you always respect your elders. Mm-hmm. And then when they grow old, you always help them out because they paved the way for you beforehand. So very little will you see like elder Asian folk be like sent into mm-hmm. a nursing home and stuff. Like the family will come together and work around their schedule for the most part, or in my personal experience, to help each other. And yeah, in terms of vacations and stuff, like I said, I'm an only child, but we always vacationed with family and stuff because the more the merrier, you know?
Yeah, why did they only have one kid? They just didn't want more? Because their life ends once they have children, so they just decide your to have life one child?
Sucks. Yeah, they got me and they were like, wow, she sucks already. We can't have more of her. No, it was, my mom actually had trouble having kids and stuff, and so they tried a few times and before me and had no luck, and then I was lucky number six, and then...
Lucky number six, like six times?
Yeah. She had a few, like five miscarriages
before. No way!
Yeah. So after that, they tried a few more times, and then they were like, you know what? If Buddha gives us one, we'll take her.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You were raised Buddhist?
Yeah. We're not really religious, but we believe in, you know, someone looking over you and all that stuff. But no, I don't go to, like, the temple every weekend and stuff. So our family's not super religious, but we do respect and believe in a greater...
I'm, like, really interested in that.
Yeah. Greater God, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, Gary Shandling, he was a comedian who just died.
Oh, did he?
He was like a month ago or so. There's whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. He was a white guy, but he was Buddhist. I was listening to a story of some monk who burned his like thumb or his finger off to like show that he was like mentally okay with pain and to be like, you know what I'm saying? It's like crazy, some of the shit I hear.
Religion, I don't touch upon ever really.
I don't really think about it anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was wondering if I'm just trying to be less ignorant, so that's why I'm asking all of these questions. Is there was there one thing growing up that you identified within yourself from being in the culture that you were in, or from being raised in the culture you're in, that you thought you had an advantage over certain other people? We were like, I'm different because of this, and I enjoy that.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, being Vietnamese is just like a part of who I am. And there's some advantages and some disadvantages with everything. But I think that's just part of the human struggle and trials and tribulations and stuff. But I wouldn't say so. Personally, I don't think so.
Yeah. And there's like tropes and stereotypes that like Asian, it was more Korean, I think. Parents are like really hard on kids, like from a scholastic education. Were you ever pressured to like succeed really well in school, and do you know why that is, where that comes from?
My parents were definitely stern. My dad was very stern with academics and stuff, because his always thing was like, I know you have the potential to be good at X, Y, and Z, so just like excel at it. And you know, the bigger part I think is that they worked so hard as a family, like my entire family, all my aunts and uncles worked so hard so that their kids can have a better life. And so it's like you work hard to earn like the good things in life. It shouldn't just be given to you, you know? So much of our just millennial generation is just, we get a lot of things handed to us, and it becomes just innate for people to expect things. And now, you see that all over the news. And
that people are entitled to.
Right, exactly. So my parents didn't want me to lose that work ethic.
Because you have a work ethic, so that's why I thought, I was wondering where that came from.
Yeah, so part of it is internal, but my parents definitely pushed me in high school to just be like, do the best that you can and stuff within every aspect. So for me, like, I took a lot of pride and joy into sports and stuff, and they were like, yeah, as long as you have all of your grades up and stuff like that, you can do whatever you want. And that's translated over to college too. Like, you know, they aren't like blind to it, being like, oh, our girl's gonna go to college, she's not gonna drink, she's not gonna do this and do that. They were like, as long as your grades are up, you can do whatever you want, join any club you want, keep doing sports, whatever that you want to do, because you only get 4 years to enjoy it, so just maximize your time there.
That's interesting. So how is high school TAM different than post undergrad TAM? Like, what, when you were in high school, what were you hoping college would be for you, and then how did it change? Like, going into college, did you have expectations for what it would be, and then it was just like a completely different thing? Or were you just hoping to get an education? Like, what?
Actually, I struggled with the first month of college, and I didn't think I was going to. It kind of took me back a little bit. I had a great high school experience. All of my friends we all did well. Like, we were going to good schools, we all went separate places, which I think was an awesome aspect that we could all have our own college experience. Like, so often you hear people, like, just groups of people going to, like, state schools and stuff like that, which is awesome. But then if you just hang out with each other, you don't really grow as a person. You're just reliving high school again.
You're
for 4 years.
You're in the same mud. Yeah.
So for me, starting college, I think it was kind of doing, you know, the fake friendships of, like, the good and bad thing of going to college by yourself in from your high school is that you don't know anyone. So then you have to start over and funnel through, like, oh, do I actually really like this person? Or are we just using each other until we find real friends?
What are you talking about? Once you get to college?
Yeah.
It's like, is this going to be a thing that's forever? Or is it just like a placeholder for not having friends right now?
Yeah. Like, when you meet new people, you're like, yeah, everyone can be whoever they want in college. Mm. You don't know any better. You don't know who they were in high school, how people viewed them and stuff. Yeah. So it was funneling through being like, do I really like you? Or are we just like trying to be friends until we find like better people and stuff?
Right.
But I lucked out. I lived in Irma. It was doubles and people didn't like that. But I was like, this is awesome. Like, we all became friends with our hall. And then Irma Dana was wicked quiet at night. So you can go out, wreck some other people's rooms and then come back and sleep in silence.
That was you? Wreck my room? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so the doubles was good because you were a little more. Yeah, I could see how
it was super quiet at night. Yeah. So unless we were like yelling and screaming and stuff, but like whatever, it wasn't even that loud.
So how'd you get past the 1 month? What was the first month? Was hard because what?
Yeah, I just couldn't. It wasn't that I didn't have my girlfriends were great. That's the thing. Like, well, I got along really well with my hallmates and stuff with them. Like, I was like, okay, like I can see myself being friends with these people. And in hindsight, yeah, they're some of my best friends from college. Mm-hmm. But my big thing was that guy friends were really important to me. Like in high school, like I had brother like figures to kind of watch out for me and stuff like that. Not like that I needed to, but you know, it's sometimes you just want to hang out and relax and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find that in college when we started.
Really? Right away?
Yeah. I mean, not like you expect to like go off right away, but I mean, we had the basketball players living underneath us and they were awesome.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to be like, yo, want to hang out like every day? Like, want to go, I don't know, shoot some hoops or something? So once I got
I'm a PT
that
major,
kind of
sound, need me to massage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they would have taken that.
Roll out some sore muscles or.
Right. But I mean, now whenever I see any of the basketball guys, like they always still say hi and like give me a huge hug. Like they really are just sweethearts. So.
Oos.
Yeah, Oos is doing well. He's playing ball in Europe, maybe?
Really?
Yeah.
I love him. He was in my QU 101 class.
Yeah,
Why I was about to say improv.
Yeah, Oos
was
so really
tall.
Yeah,
he's 6'8".
Rather tall.
I remember my brother was visiting here one time. I was like, yo, can you... he was somewhere else. I happened to be doing something. I was like, can you come pick me up? I need a ride. He was like, no, I don't want it. My brother's huge in sports.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm like doing something right now. I think he was like getting food. He's like, can you find another ride? I don't know why he wasn't with me, but whatever. And I was like, well, Oos needs a ride too, because I was working at the TD Bank Sports Center and he had heard of Oos. He was like, I'll be right there.
Oh my God.
He was so excited to meet Oos. Oos got in our little Honda Civic in the passenger seat and had to pull the chair all the way back.
Yeah, Oos had to duck his head under the doorway every time he went into his room or else he'd hit his head.
Same with classrooms, yeah.
Yeah, and he had to put pillows on his desk because his legs were too long to,
Oh, he had to put the desk as, like, an extension?
Yeah, of his bed, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I couldn't imagine those twin beds. You still sleep in a twin bed?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not. Those twin beds were awful. Yeah.
I have a twin bed still at home.
Oh, that's sad. I feel bad for you.
Yeah. I'm not the smallest person either.
Not that. You just want to like be able to like starfish out and just roll around.
Veg. Anyway. So how did college get better for you?
joined some extracurriculars as everyone else did, tried to get involved in stuff, and kind of just took off from there. And time flies when you're having fun.
So how do you see, you're in post-grad now, how do you see and view and value your college experience now? If you could, like, summary, abstract, thesis, what it did for you and why it was so important to you.
I think it's a cliche to say, but everyone will tell you that college is 30% the academic portion, mm-hmm. or maybe even less, and 75-80% about just learning to meet, live, and exist with people who are very different from you.
Mm-hmm.
And for us at Quinnipiac, yeah, people weren't that much different from each other, but everyone comes from a different type of setting, you know, growing up in a small town, large town, mm-hmm. city, rural with like cows and stuff. But mm-hmm. everyone seems to find their way to make their own friends. And my biggest thing was just, I have 3 years of undergrad. I want to do as much as I can and enjoy it and be able to look back and say, wow, I never wanted to look back at something and say, I wish I did this.
Mm.
And so that kind of drove me to do whatever and everything that I did in college, because I knew once grad school hit, that was going to be my primary concern. And then after that, you're just working every single day for
the rest of life
for 40 years, and life happens. So you can't really be selfish anymore. There's going to be responsibilities and mm-hmm. other people depending on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you lived it up. I think you did. I think you killed it, as they say.
I think we all killed it. We all did our thing, and it's pretty cool, pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. So now that you're in grad school, how is it different?
Grad school just becomes a job. It is your job to go in, go to class every day, do the work. You don't really have a lot of just extraneous time where you can kind of.
Yeah, what were you most afraid about after the 3 years? Because you were in your fourth year and everyone else in our grade was still like in undergrad. Like, were you afraid that there would be a disconnect, and how did you make sure that that didn't happen?
Yeah, FOMO is a real thing, and especially for.
FOMO?
Yeah, for someone like me, I think that was what I had to come to terms with. I had to learn to be okay with saying no, with not always jumping on board to do everything.
Do you still get that? Fun. I don't get FOMO anymore. I don't even look. Maybe it's because I just refuse to look at Snapchat so I don't get scared. Or do I don't get sad?
I've definitely come to terms a lot better with it. And I'm pretty adamant. You can't really change my mind. Like, I am, yeah, I'm all for spontaneous plans and stuff. But if in my head I'm like, I want to plan ahead and do this, see this person, travel and go here, then I'll make sure I get all my work done and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you can't really convince me otherwise once I have made a plan, whether that is to just hang out and relax and make sure that I get my stuff done, or if I want to just drive 6 hours somewhere for a good time. Like, once I set in my plan, like, I'm doing it. So I don't really get FOMO anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's, as we age, we shouldn't get FOMO anymore.
Yeah, I guess I was always a person who always felt like he should be somewhere else. So I just got used to, like, not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're having more fun over there. And I always wanted to, thinking that I was in it. So that kind of hindered me from enjoying the moment, because I always thought there was a moment that could be more enjoyable somewhere else. But
yeah, and that's all relative. That's the thing. You just have to, wherever you want to go. Wow, mm-hmm. that took a lot of words.
wherever you choose to be.
Exactly. That's where internally you should be like, these are the people that I want to be around, and this is what I want to do. And if, like you said, there's another place that you'd rather be, then go there. And then don't think twice about what anyone else questions you about.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how are you doing now with like being completely removed from the undergrad experience, with like not as many friends here?
It's good. It doesn't give me as many temptations.
Right.
And yeah, it's fun to go visit people. now that people are settled in different cities and towns and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. you want to see how they're starting to integrate and build kind of the rest of their life. And mm-hmm. so visiting people is always fun. It's always a good experience and a good travel.
You were just route. In Boston at the Red Sox game.
I was. They beat the Yankees.
Ugh.
It was great old time in Fenway. But you've gone to Fenway. You like it there. It's fun.
I've been one time.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
You should go.
That
no,
is
we
a
should plan
park.
A. Yeah, we'll plan a game. The tickets are super cheap.
Me and Stav were talking about that. We need to plan to just go other places. We were at Washington D.C. that one time.
Yeah, I saw that. That looked awesome.
We
DC's,
just went.
Yeah, D.C.'s part of my like. So there's like a few places in the U.S. that I want to be able to travel to and mm-hmm. stuff like
you
that.
You ever been D.C.?
I have probably.
That
10
was my
years
first
ago.
I'd ever been there.
It's really cool.
And we were like, why don't we just do this? Like, one weekend, just go to Philly. One weekend, just go to New York City. One, go to Boston.
Right. Yeah. Cause, like, you have the time. Like, you might as well drive. Like, it's good. But no, I really want to go back to DC because I couldn't appreciate everything that it had when I was 10. I remember, like, going to the Treasury and thinking that was awesome. There was so much money. And then I was like, I don't get why we're always in debt because they're just making so much money in here.
But there's all this money. Why do we need more?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got to tour the White House, which was really cool. Kind of creepy, too.
You like, went inside?
Yeah.
We just stood outside the fence and yelled, Obama.
Well, now there's so much security with everything.
Yeah, right? I was like afraid
so much
to,
more lenient.
I like, obviously, I'm a fucking crazy person. I was like walking with Stav. I was like, we're probably being watched right now, that especially because I'm with you. And he was like, I was like, I don't even, I was about to tell him, like, I'm afraid to even say the word bomb, but no. I didn't want to say that I was afraid to say the word bomb because then I would say bomb. I was like, I'm afraid to say certain things. There's definitely microphones. He's like, oh yeah, there's people are watching us right now. And I was like, that is ridiculous. Well, people are watching us everywhere because NSA, people are listening to this right now.
Yeah, that's...
There's people going through the camera of that computer and being like, why is that kid talking about bombs? He's with an Asian person. Maybe she's up to something. And I'm like, no, we're just American people. Relax.
Yeah. I try to like not think about how
we're being watched.
Yeah, at every second and turn of the way.
There's a great thing that... do you know John Oliver? He's on HBO. He went to Russia and interviewed Edward Snowden. He was the NSA guy who leaked all the files that the NSA was watching us. And he interviewed him and he interviewed him in a way that he said it was about how and in what way can the government see our dick pics? Because that's how he tried to make it like relatable to the American people, because he like used all these like
that's awesome.
Intellectual hard whatever phraseology. And he was like, just can they see my junk if I email it to them? Can they? Yeah, it's fucking scary. I don't think about that either until just now, until it comes up.
We're just average men trying to live our lives, trying to get through one day at a time.
Yeah. So what are you hoping for the future, Tam?
Oh, the big question. I'm just hoping to go back eventually to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Love our city. You know, it's when you're born and raised in Boston, there's a sense of pride that never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was Charlie Dreyer, if you can hear that, people.
Yeah. That's probably going to go off for a while.
Oh, yeah, because no one's going to get that.
Yeah. But yeah, not too much different from what I'm doing now. You know, we're going to be working and just trying to enjoy as much as you can on the time off.
Do you want to have a family, husband?
Yeah, but we're not. That's like further down the line.
I wasn't this person either, but you weren't a person who dated really in college. Was it just because you were so focused on school? And have
not
you ever
really
dated?
That, but it's more just, I never went out and thought like, oh, like it's time to meet a guy when I'm out. Like,
you
just go out and you have a good time with your friends and the hours just go by and you wake up and you're like, wow, what a fun night. Like, can't wait to do that again. And it's just somehow 4 years goes by and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like trying to find love in toads. So.
I don't understand the people who could just so easily make that a thing.
Yeah. like now it's just same thing. Right now it's for me, I just think it's okay to be selfish and it's okay to, wow, did I say? I don't know if those came out as words.
Okay,
it's
okay to be selfish.
Selfish.
That's what you said.
And kind of just do whatever you want and have no responsibilities. And yeah, if you meet someone and you're like, wow, like I like your personality, like we should hang out, then it should happen naturally and whatever. And like dating's fun. But I'm not.
You didn't prioritize that.
Yeah, like it's not like at the top of my list right now. Like if I'm dating someone, like, yeah, I enjoy your company. It's fun. But like if it withers off, it's not the end of the world.
Mm.
Like we're young. We have time. I don't really have a age for marriage and all that stuff.
Are like, you scared of getting older?
Right now? It? Yeah, right now, like birthdays aren't that fun anymore. Like I don't want us to age. And I know with every decade it comes, you know, there's going to be milestones of like, this is awesome. Like obviously in your 30s and stuff, that's when you want to get married, have kids. And like, that's going to be awesome at that time. But right now our mentality, or at least mine, is just very different, which just,
oh my God, that's right.
You're still young. You still want to travel and see the world and experience so many different things because we have so much to learn. For us, we don't really have experiences under our belt yet.
Yeah, what do you want to do that you haven't done?
A lot. There's so much to so much to see and so many things to do. But the biggest thing I think is just traveling and seeing other parts, because for both you and I, we never went abroad.
No.
You know?
I've only left the country once.
And was that to Canada?
It was to Mexico.
Oh.
Just I went down instead of up.
Yeah.
That was this summer. My really? Dad's afraid of flying.
Oh yeah, that's really a.
He's a person who always needs to be in control of whatever he's doing.
Right.
So if the fate of his life is in the hands of someone else, he doesn't do well.
Yeah, and I totally get that. But in my head, whenever I fly, I'm just like, well, if today's the day I'm supposed to die,
yeah,
then
I have no control. So,
yeah,
so there's no point in worrying.
Right.
I don't understand who people can't just tap into that.
I do.
I mean, I do, but it's like, come on, get over yourself.
My biggest
Your life isn't even that precious.
Turbulence so freaks me out. I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
When you hit turbulence up there, it's just like, you're on a roller coaster, but like, it's, yeah. I don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because I don't know if I believe in God. So I was wondering if like, if the plane, there's a thing I always wonder about, if a plane's going down, if even I would be like, if that would be the time where I'd be like, come on, help me.
It would just definitely, well, let's hope this we never encounter this ever in our lifetime, but I think it's just the anticipation. When it's going down, it's pretty far up, so it's going to take a long while for it to go down.
Yeah. Oh, eesh. I don't want to talk about this. Oh, yeah. Scary.
All right, skip.
Okay.
Next question.
No, we have no more questions. Do you have any questions for me, Tam?
How has this been going for you?
I don't know. Do
you like doing the interviews with people? Like, is there, I feel like you get to tap into, because I texted you that one day where I was going for a run and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to Joe's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really like just enlightening to learn more about the people that you thought you kind of knew or, you know, your friends and stuff. And I was just like running along, like laughing at some of the, you know, just jokes.
Who'd
and
you
stories.
Listen to?
I listened to Tim's.
That was good.
And then I listened to, I think you didn't have that many on. I listened to a part of Stav's.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I mean,
Klutz.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. I like the, well, there's a lot of ways I could come at this. It's just, I'm just trying to make sure that it's universal enough, the conversation with people, that it isn't just people in our, like, well, right now it's just people I know who are listening, and I'm sure they like listening to people that they think they already know and getting to know them better, or like people they even maybe a little bit know and get to know them better. But I'm trying to make sure that I'm talking about things that are universal enough that are, you know, relevant to just anyone.
Right.
But from a personal standpoint, I mean, a big reason as to why I wanted to do this was because I've never been a person who really liked people. So I like wanted to make, and I, but I've always been a person Because I think a lot of the times interactions with people are like surface level, and like they're, when people talk to each other, especially when people are out, they're like not really talking. Mm-hmm. It's just like kind of chit chat. And I wanted to use this as like a thing to see if I can like actually connect and empathize with other people, and see if I can learn from people and like listen to other people's stories and what they've gone through and help myself with that, or see if I like actually care about someone else's story, or if I'm, because like, you know, when something you hear, I feel like everyone has this, but like you hear someone's going through something or something bad happened to someone, maybe no one else experienced this, maybe I'm a sociopath, but you like feel like you have to feel bad, but you like don't really feel bad sometimes about certain things. So I just like wanted to make sure that I can like actually connect with someone on like one-on-one. But then also, it was coming out of college, I like felt like I wasn't a part of anything anymore. It was the first time where I didn't feel like, I've said this before, like I didn't feel like any part of any community. And I realized the importance of having people around you. And I was like, I need this. Like, I need people. So come to me. Let me use this as a thing to like make people talk with me and hang out with me for an hour. But yeah, I'm enjoying doing it. I'm gonna start trying to look for more publicly known guests. I'm going to LA to interview some people. Did I tell you I'm going to LA to visit Saad?
You didn't tell me, but Saad told me, so I knew you were going
to. Oh, you still talk to Saad?
Yeah, no, like I said, like...
How do you do that?
Saad and I got pretty close, I'd say. Mm-hmm.
Saying, how do you talk to Saad? I'm saying, how do you talk to so many freaking people?
No, but that's the thing, like, it's... Yeah, you have your friends, but, like, your core group, like, you make sure that mm-hmm. even if it's just once a week, you check in, make sure that they're, like, still living and breathing, and mm-hmm. shoot the shit a little bit, and then...
Yeah,
keep them in the loop.
But yeah, I'm gonna keep doing this, and I've been taking classes at UCB, and I've been trying to get into acting, but that hasn't been happening. So I'm gonna probably start applying to like production companies or radio stations, and keep doing this in the meantime, and taking those classes to see if I can perform there eventually. But I don't know.
One day at a time.
Every day I'm like, I need to be doing more, and then I just don't do anything more. I'm just like, get content with just like, not, I gotta work harder and put more effort. And it's even hard to just market this too. I don't even want to bother people with, I just want to do it and not have to do anything other than just doing it. You know what I'm saying? Where I should be finding out ways to try to make this more popular, because it's not that popular. It's like 500 people per episode download it, which is okay. For someone who no one knows, but some random guy, some random person, but yeah, I'm all right. I'm good, I think.
We all gotta start small somewhere, right?
Yeah. But I'm definitely a little better now that I got to talk to you, you know? Appreciate it.
Absolutely. This was fun.
Yeah.
For any of those listeners out there.
Well, no one's listening right now, obviously.
Well, afterwards.
Yeah. I thought you were looking at my computer to see if like there were listeners. I don't know why I thought that you would do that. Okay.
No,
so,
but maybe Obama's listening right now.
That'd be dope. What's up, Obama? Jinx, you owe me a... I don't want a soda because it's not good for you. We'll figure something else out. All right, Tam. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, have a good rest of your Sunday.
Yeah. What are you doing today?
I'm going to go home and shower. I have Fenway all over me.
I have Fenway all over me.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I just have Fenway Frank all over me.
Oh, God. And then you got to study?
Yeah, just chugging along until the next fun thing.
That is a great way to look at life. We're going to end right there.
Okay.
Peace out. That is it. That is Tammy. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Hope you got something out of it. That is all for today. There will be another episode next week. Please leave a review on iTunes if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to iTunes. Go to my website, thatmillennialife.com. You can find episodes there as well. Follow me on Twitter at thatmillife, or like the Facebook page, That Millennial Life. Yeah, I got some more episodes, and I got more... I'm reaching out to some other people that I hope to have on the show that I think will be interesting. So until then... have a good week.